By the way, Tom Fortino's in our studio, the founder and principal of Alpha Wealth Group. Hey, Tom, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
We asked you to come in a lot and just talk about finances and money. Mm-hmm. So do you like that at least of the $10 million that the lottery's going to give out, the state is going to give out for the vaccine, the Vax lottery, $3 million prizes, but then $40, $100,000 prizes. Another $4 million goes out to 40 million people and $100,000 tracks. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I would say. Anything that is voluntary and not compelled, I'm okay with that, right?
What do you mean voluntary?
Well, I mean, they're not forcing you to
get the vaccine. No, this is the carrot. It is not a stick. They're not taking your money away. They're simply saying, we'll give you some money if you get the vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm okay with that.
What would you do if I got $100,000 today? what should I do with it?
Invest it. I would invest it in the market. I mean, I would do it over a period of months. I wouldn't do it all at once because we're seeing like this week, the market's down a few percent. So you got to be careful as you invest. You want to take a lump sum and just throw it in.
You would do dollar cost averaging, they say?
Yes, I would spread it over, let's say 6 months or something like that.
Do it the first of every month, something like that?
That's fine, yep.
Don't try and time the market.
Yep. That's not try to time it. It's folly.
Everybody wants to try and time the market. That is, would you hold on to it until it goes down? Maybe you ought to just put it in the bank because the market's going to go down. I'll bet at some point this year we're going to be at 31,000 on the Dow.
Okay.
Do you think that's not such a crazy thing to
say? It is not such a crazy thing. That would be roughly a 10% correction. We're a little over 33,000. So that is common. It happens very often where we have these 10% corrections. But, longer term, I think it's still going to be up this year.
Do you? So, in fact, now I'm playing market timer. If I get into the market at 33, 34 with my $100,000 that the state gave me because I got the vaccine, in 5 years, would you and I agree that the market will be above 34?
I would agree with that. Now, that's a high probability.
So putting it in now, even if I could have waited and gotten a better deal, if my horizon is 5 years forward, I don't have to worry about the next 6 months. Think 5 years and will the market be better?
Yeah.
Which is the way you guys probably think.
Well, I do agree that, again, I think over a five-year period, if you look at any rolling period of time, 10-year, 20-year, over a 20-year period, the market has never, ever been down. The history of the stock market, any 20-year period, any 10-year period, there's only been a handful of times the market's ever been down. So a five-year period, again, gives us a high probability that you will be up.
But I feel there's something a little phony about the 33, 34 we've been at lately. It doesn't feel real to me. It's gone up too far, too fast. There's a lot of other things that are propelling the market, including federal funds. So I'm not sure that that's I'm ready for some sort of fall.
The question is, a lot of it is, first of all, based on valuation. How do you value it? What are you paying? Of course, it's earnings. Most common is the PE, price to earnings. Just like any business you buy, whether it's a restaurant down the street, it's an ice cream stand, what is the value? If it makes $100,000 a year, what are you going to pay for that? 5 times? 10 times? That's the PE value. And the PE values right now, our price to earnings, are high, no question, but they're not. We're talking about some pretty significant earnings this year, some pretty significant growth rate, so they may come more into line. Moreover, where else are you going to put your money? I hate to say it like that.
No, I get it. I think that's where a lot of people are. Although I wouldn't blame somebody if they believe the way I'm talking and they put it in the bank and they lose ground because of inflation.
Mm-hmm. You're going backwards.
I would rather lose a tiny bit than lose a lot in the market.
Right. It's the old Will Rogers, right? I'm more concerned about a return of my principal than a return on my principal, right? But the thing is, I would just say for those of you that cash is not a bad position to have right now, and if you have some cash or bonds, you're talking about these corrections? Well, what if the market goes down to 30,000? I think there's an opportunity to rotate, take the bond positions you may have, and go into the stock market as a percentage. There's some opportunities here that we want to be, proactive on.
Well, depending on your age, would you say the blend should be a little more conservative that way right now? That is, less in stocks if you can and more in cash or bonds?
Depending on the age, depending on your need for income, depending on whether or not you're retired or close to retirement, it's, again, I hate to use this term, have to, but you kind of have to be there, because if there's a 20, 30, 40% drop in the market, which has been experienced, and you need to pull money out, That's a problem.
Yeah, but those drops, if you're talking about the last two, are predicated either on the pandemic or the bubble crash that we had, and I don't see either of those repeating themselves.
Well, 2000, we had the tech bubble. That was three successive down years, down 10, 12, and 22. Then 2008, down, you know, from...
That's the one I'm thinking of.
That's another one. So you had 2000, 2008, those
really?
Two. Just look over the last 2 years. Yeah, it was down over 40% in a three-year period. Three successive down years. Hard to imagine going through that today, but 2000, 2001, and 2002 were all down.
Speaking of hard to imagine, when it did crash last March, April, May, when the market went way, way down, did you know that this was a buy opportunity?
No, not necessarily. I think it was. I thought there was an opportunity maybe to move some more money. I did actually... I guess I did make some moves at that time. I bought some stock personally, and with some of the clients, we talked about moving into stock.
Well, let me ask you this. We have to let's take a break, and we'll come back. Tom Fortino is here from the Alpha Wealth Group. And by the way, Tom is having conversations like this every Sunday morning with Elise Glink now. It's 6:30 to 7 o'clock.
That's true.
6:30 Sunday mornings. 6:30 Sunday mornings on WGN. Tom Fortino and our Elise Glink. Tom's the founder and principal at Alpha Wealth Group. So if I think that, and I think maybe you agree with me, that at least some sectors of the market are a little inflated, I wonder, is that a premise that we can have a conversation based on?
I agree.
Okay, but I wonder what areas you think are safest and which are riskiest. And maybe you've got individual companies or maybe just areas of the market that you feel are a little more vulnerable mm-hmm. to some sort of dip down the road. We'll pick it up here in a minute on WGN. Tom, we were talking before the break just a little bit about taxes. We were talking about the lottery winnings. If you win that, what do you do with it? But we were also just talking about the health of the market. It's my mind that one of these shoes is going to fall pretty soon. I wonder what part of the Dow or the S&P, I wonder what sectors are more vulnerable than others.
Well, the you know, when we look at the S&P, there's 11 sectors. We break it down into 11 separate sectors, you know, energy, materials, utilities, healthcare, and so on. You know, technology is one of the worst performing this year. Energy is up 50% year to date. That's the best performing sector, the worst performing last year. I would just make a comment. So it's kind of the adage, I've used this before. When you own the S&P or the Dow, you own all of the sectors, right? It's instead of looking for the needles in the haystack, you buy the haystack because you have to be careful when you're buying individual sectors. But I think there's some opportunities. I've mentioned it before, exchange-traded funds. Exchange-traded funds are an easy way to have exposure to a sector. I'll give a couple examples. You want to buy semi. You can buy technology. XLK is the technology index if you think it's actually rallied this week. I think technology is going to be here to stay. You can go down even into a subsector in semiconductors. You know, these shortages we've seen of semiconductors. A lot of these plants are ramping up. You know, GM and Ford had to shut down some facilities because in, you know, these chips. But the chip manufacturers, if you want to buy the sector, I think it's, well, anyways, we don't need to give the ticker for it. I think it's SHM. But these are some plays that you can do. I would just be careful when you're going to own sector funds because, again, now you're bringing a little more risk instead of owning the whole market. You can put a 3 to 5% position in some of these.
I like that better than buying an individual stock, though.
It's less, yes, I agree, because again, you're owning that one stock instead of owning the whole sector.
And so then you're just banking on the idea rather than on the individual company, right? One company
Correct.
Could be better managed than another company, but you know that those chips are going to be needed. In fact, should I buy one of those things that you just
said?
You
mean the exchange-traded fund semiconductor sector?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know your overall situation, but it wouldn't hurt to put a, like I said, a 3 to 5% position in something like that, or you can take it another level and buy technology.
But the problem is that everybody already knows that, right? So I wonder if, in fact, as soon as I know about it, it's too late.
No, not necessarily. No, if you think, if you know, fundamentally you think that sector is going to continue to rise, it's, I think it's 4% off its high, and I think it still has room to run. You know, again, you can own it. It's just, again, it's all about understanding your investment plan and what are you trying to do.
You know what I'm acting like is greedy. I wanted it when it was way, way, way low, and then I wish I'd had the foresight to go, hey, the pandemic is going to shut down car plants. Car plants make cars. Cars need chips, so they won't be able to have enough chips. So, you know, I wish I had the foresight to get in front of that when it looked bad. That's the idea.
Yeah, but sometimes, look, the old, you know, there's, I think it was one of the Rothschilds said, you know, the way to make money in this market is, I never buy at the bottom and I always sell too soon, right? So, again, it's not the timing part of it. So if there's more room to run on it and you think there is, but you, again, you want to be disciplined in what you do. You really have to have a, you have to have a strategy. You can't go blindly into something and hold it and not.
I know you talk a lot about taxes, and that's really maybe the linchpin of investment advice, right? It's how to avoid taxes and know when to actually capture your money rather than maybe how or when to invest it. You know, go ahead and invest the money. But don't you think that the emphasis these days is on redistributing the wealth back to yourself?
Well, yeah, we need to understand that if we're in a 401k IRA, any tax-deferred retirement plan, the traditional ones, that's not all your money. Up to 30, 40% could be the government's.
Really? So, nobody's paying 40% on their retirement.
Okay, but 37% is the highest tax bracket right now. But you have to remember, too, you also have a state tax of 4.9%. So, yeah, you could pay up to 40% on investment gains. You also have to remember there's net investment income tax. I know we're getting into the weeds here, but that was part of Obamacare, which is a Medicare tax on top of that of 3.8%. That's why when you hear him talk about capital gains rates going up to 40%, well, if they're 39%. It could be 42 point or almost 43 because you add it. If your income's over to a certain amount, you have to pay extra tax.
People pay taxes on their Medicare that they receive? Is that what you just said?
Well, in your investment income, there's an extra tax. If your income is, if it's over 250, you have to pay an additional 3.8% net investment tax on top of the other tax.
To help fund the Affordable Care Act.
That was part of it.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. And that's going to stay, right? I mean, that still is in place. I don't see any change in that.
There's no change
in the next 4 years.
And that's why you always hear me beat the drums on Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks. The money goes in. Yes, it isn't pre-tax, but on the back end, every penny is tax-free. There is no required distributions. It's not used to tax your Social Security. It goes to your spouse and children tax-free. You can do $7,000 a year into a Roth. You can do $26,000 a year into a Roth 401k. That's $33,000 if you're over age 50. That you can put into these accounts that will never be taxed the rest of your life. So unlike those other accounts, Uncle Sam is not your partner in those.
Index funds, though, were probably, just going back to the investment side for a minute, you were talking about EFTs? No.
Exchange-traded funds, ETFs.
ETFs. But maybe the broader version and the safest thing would just be an index fund. Say, do you want to bet on the Dow or the S&P and just buy an index fund?
That's a good way to, I'd say for the average investor, that's one of the best ways. And these, a lot of these sites are incredibly helpful. You can go to Vanguard, Fidelity. They'll structure a portfolio based on your risk tolerance or an investment objective. And you can really set these things up and just familiarize yourself with this. It's very powerful.
You know what? I'm always thinking, shoot, I wish I had bought this then. I've never bought anything in my life. I torture myself this way. But now it's these dang Bitcoins, this cryptocurrency stuff. Have you dabbled in that a little bit?
I've stayed completely away from them.
You could have made a lot of money.
Had I bought them. You know, someone, the first crypto purchase was a pizza. Someone used, I think, 20 Bitcoin. That was one expensive pizza.
Would 20 Bitcoin to buy a pizza.
That was in 2010, I think.
And isn't it amazing how recently that was? How fast that thing has moved up?
Yeah.
Tom, you should have known that. Why didn't you know that? You know, and the thing was, when we first heard about cryptocurrencies, we knew that that was how drug money was laundered and how criminal operations were able to avoid detection was through this cryptocurrency. It sounds sinister, but but now it's becoming more and more of a common currency. Do you think it's going to stay a legitimate part of our economy?
Well, here's what I would say. The reason I'm not, you know, first of all, let me start. I believe in the premise that the Fed, I'm not a fan of the Fed, the Federal Reserve. I just don't think, because they do print fiat money, they create money. The idea is that it's a limited supply. I'm more of a gold person. I know that sounds old fashioned, but gold is a limited supply too. It's also material, right? A material thing. You can hold it. It's tangible. You cannot hold a Bitcoin. And Bitcoin was as high as 60 some thousand. It dropped to 37. You know, someone had said, look, if you go to the dealership in the morning to buy a car, you don't know if you can buy one or two cars with your Bitcoin that day. So we really have to, right now, I just don't see how it can be a currency. Long term, maybe, I don't know. That's a tough one. I stay away from it right now. I like more tangible things. I think they could use gold, but, you know, you can't.
We're not going to go back. We're not going back to the gold standard.
Probably. I don't know. Probably not.
You would like us to. I'm a little
I would like you
that
to.
You're this old-fashioned about this sort of thing. That is, listen, I'll defer to you. You're the expert, but it sure seems to me like the Bitcoins and the Dogecoins and the other coins are not going away.
There's some things you just can't fight, right?
If
it's going to happen, and then it will. But I would be very careful. Hey, this is the same thing as I talked about with sectors. You want to have a 3% position. GDPC, you can buy that. That's an ETF that owns Ethereum and Bitcoin. You can have a small position in there, 3 to 5%.
Maybe I will do that. But here again, I wish I had bought Vicky Kakuzian that does our traffic, bought Dogecoins at 0.004. And the next thing she knows, it was trading at 40 cents. So she had made $11 dollars.
Time to sell.
But the problem is she was selling on the way up.
First of all, she
didn't buy a million of them, but she bought some, dabbled, and she made some money. But she was selling on the way up, which is what you're supposed to do, right?
You have to have a sell discipline and take profit.
Pulling your money off. Now, if she had left the boatload of that in there the whole time, she might not be working here. But I wouldn't beat myself up if I were.
No, you can't. Nope, she was smart.
We are out of time. Tom Fortino is smart. So Elyse Glink and Tom, 6:30 Sunday morning with, what's the name of the show again?
This Week in Wealth.
This Week in Wealth. I'm going to remember that. This Week in Wealth, Sunday morning, Tom Fortino, Elyse Glink. More smart money talk then.